last week on Death in Entertainment.
If Aaron Hernandez doesn't kill that dude and doesn't go to prison, do we get Gronk?
We don't get me.
Oh, for real?
Charging the defendant Aaron Hernandez with murder? What say you, Madam Foreperson? Is the defendant not guilty, guilty of murder in the first degree, or guilty of murder in the second degree?
Guilty of murder in the first degree.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death in entertainment.
Hello, Deado Universe.
Welcome back for another helping of Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah, he is in trouble with the principal and law enforcement. what is going on, everybody? My name is Kyle Plouffe.
And I'm Alejandro Dowling.
Take note, if you're listening for the first time this week, if you missed last week, go back and listen, because that is part one of Aaron Hernandez's life and crimes. And so we got to get caught up with episode two here. Alejandro, if you can remind me, refresh me, please, where do we leave off?
Well, in 2012, Aaron Hernandez was out partying, got into an altercation with a guy who spilled a drink on him.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Yeah.
And then he took both of them out, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And then about a year later, in summer 2013, a body is found a mile from his home.
Yeah.
And that victim is Odin Lloyd, who would have been his future brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he had no future.
Mm.
And Aaron Hernandez is arrested. And so, yeah, that's basically where we left off, I believe, where everybody is shocked that this star football player is being arrested for murder.
Yeah. Aaron Hernandez was arrested. He was tried in the murder of Odin Lloyd and convicted. And I believe that's exactly where we left off. So let's get right into it, going back to the summer of 2013.
Ooh.
So when we released this episode on YouTube, one of our regular listeners, Gustav Bruhl, shout out to Gustav.
What's up?
he had mentioned that Aaron Hernandez did absolutely nothing to prevent himself from being caught. There was evidence everywhere. Not only did he do nothing to prevent getting caught, he made the case against him actively worse. And we'll get into why.
So that's a gift for the prosecution.
Oh, God. He gave him everything on a silver platter.
Yeah. And do you think it's because that good old boy feeling of being able to get away with everything, even murder?
Yeah.
Do you think he really thought that, oh, I'll just get away with this anyway?
Yeah. I think that's literally what it was. Odin Lloyd was found shot execution style. They didn't check his pockets for anything to see, like, oh, how is he going to be identified? And is there any evidence in his pockets? Which there were. Those rental car keys from Enterprise Rental Car had the tag on it. And when the police went to Enterprise to discover whose car was attached to the tag on the keys, Aaron Hernandez. Big fucking mistake. He left shell casings at the scene that matched a gun that he had.
And not to mention that he had ties to the victim.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a mile from his house. He went all the way to Dorchester to pick him up, which is 45 minutes away, and then brings him all the way back to his neighborhood, kills him in his neighborhood, and goes home.
That's insane. He's the worst criminal of all time.
Yeah. During this trial, they started delving into other states he had been in and looking to see when he got in trouble or if he got in trouble, which there is a laundry list.
Or was he around any of these infamous incidents that took place?
Yes.
Where there's smoke, there's Hernandez.
Yeah. So while these trials are happening, Massachusetts police are going deep to see where Aaron may have gotten into trouble elsewhere. Are you ready for this list?
I am ready. Y'all ready for this?
Banana. So in 2007, we talked about the Gainesville bar fight. On April 28th, 2007, according to a police report in Gainesville, Florida, a 17-year-old Aaron Hernandez consumed two alcoholic drinks at the Swamp, the bar that's near the Florida Gators campus.
Yeah, you'll remember from the previous episode, this lovely drinkery.
A $12 tab, so two $6 drinks. Aaron refused to pay the bill and was escorted out by an employee. The manager called him out, and as the manager's walking away, Hernandez sucker punched him on the side of the head, rupturing his eardrum. And this is while Tim Tebow's in the middle of them being like, please, Aaron, just go. Leave. Don't get in trouble. And I will pay the fucking tab for you.
God is going to take care of this tip.
Yeah, God is an awesome God. So he punches this guy, ruptures his eardrum, but then the police go and investigate. They go to talk to Aaron, and in the police report, they write that he's very polite and not intoxicated. No arrest, no charges pressed, nothing.
That is completely irrelevant to the crime.
Yeah.
You could be very polite after committing a crime. It doesn't make a difference. You still committed a crime.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy was charismatic. That didn't make any difference.
Right. The police responded at 1:17 a.m. and Hernandez called his coach, which we didn't cover in the first one.
Oh.
So he called Urban Meyer, and Meyer promptly calls Huntley Johnson, the team's unofficial, off-the-books defense lawyer.
The fixer.
Yeah.
If I have a fixer, I want him to be named Huntley.
Yeah. So this is why there was no charges pressed.
Ah.
The victim told police that he was contacted by the team's unofficial lawyers, and the team said that a settlement was being worked out with said victim.
Oh. So did he get paid?
The team denied it.
He obviously did.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no other way, unless he would be like scared of retribution from the team.
So a broken eardrum, is that something that can be easily fixed?
It takes like 4 to 8 weeks for it to heal.
Okay, so hopefully he got paid for that and then some.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that an eardrum is like a salamander's tail. It'll just come back.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's news to me.
That's salamander. And it changes colors.
Yeah, it starts poking out of your ear. The police department recommended charging Hernandez with felony battery, but off the books, settlement happens. He doesn't have to go to jail, doesn't have to get arrested, doesn't have to be in trouble with pre-NFL draft reports.
So that would be on the bartender to have done that, to file charges?
The state, I believe, can do it, but you need a cooperating witness. And if you don't have a cooperating witness, you get no case.
Because that's interesting that the police is making this recommendation.
Yeah.
You would think the police could make an arrest if they wanted
to. Maybe the guy just couldn't hear them. You want to arrest him, huh? Money?
Sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. So the 2007 Gainesville bar fight, that is notorious for being a red flag in Aaron Hernandez's past, but nobody knows about it because this guy with one broken eardrum goes, just give me some money.
And there was deafening silence for the NFL.
Pew, 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 pew. Picture this. 2007. Would you believe that Aaron Hernandez got into trouble again that year?
At this point, I wonder if he was ever not in trouble.
Yeah. So remember, April 28th, 2007, when that bar fight was happening, Aaron Hernandez was 17 years old. And don't forget, Urban Meyer flew to meet with the principal of his high school to beg him to say, or not even beg him, just say, hey, let him get out early.
Mm-hmm.
So when he shows up, April 28, 2007, that's his senior year of high school. So he's just young and dumb and full of fucking rage.
Ever since his dad beat up that coach.
Yeah.
He's been witnessing this his entire life, that problems just get taken care of. And as long as you're good at sports, you are going to get away with things.
Yeah. Problems are solved with fists.
Yeah.
So in 2007, there was actually a Gainesville double shooting. On September 30th, 2007, an unnamed person approached a car which held Randall Carson, Justin Glass, and Corey Smith, and they fired 5 shots while they were sitting at a Gainesville traffic light after leaving a nightclub. Does this sound familiar?
It does. The same scenario. That was his thing.
Yeah. Corey Smith was shot in the head, and Glass was shot in the arm. Both men survived.
What? Shot in the head?
Yeah, shot in the back of the head. That sounds familiar too, because that's what happened to Odin Lloyd.
That's execution style.
Yep.
Wow. And then carved into his neck, Aaron was here.
Yeah, exactly. Carson, who was a backseat passenger, was left uninjured and told police that the shooter was a Hawaiian or Hispanic male with a large build, weighing about 230 pounds, having many tattoos.
And slightly gay.
Yeah, he walked away with a limp wrist. He shot the gun and went, ow! The Gainesville police handed Randall Carson a whole bunch of pictures and said, can you pick out who did it? He picked out Aaron Hernandez.
And then what happened?
Police told Meyer's personal assistant they wanted to see Hernandez and two teammates immediately. Detectives kept pushing coaches to bring the players to the station, but they did not arrive for 4 hours. Would you believe that Huntley Johnson, the team's unofficial defense lawyer, spoke to them for hours before they went to the police station?
Wow, and 4 hours is a long time.
Yeah. That's enough time to come up with a story. The other players cooperated with the police, but Hernandez refused. He invoked his right to a lawyer and said, "Fuck off, I'm not talking to anybody." Hernandez ended up being the last player to be interviewed. They found him with his head down on the table and sleeping, a posture they said was unusual for someone in the middle of a shooting investigation.
He was faking.
So this is why the 2013 arrest comes back to haunt, because at the time, no charges are filed. But due to his 2013 arrest and conviction for the murder of Odin Lloyd, authorities contacted police in Florida to try to determine whether Hernandez was suspected to have a role in the 2007 shooting. There was a detective, Tom Mullins. He was assigned to reinvestigate and concluded that Hernandez was not the trigger man, which I don't know how you can conclude that.
You can't.
No, you need a trial.
And there was no video, I assume?
No, of course not. Even if there was, it was wiped.
Right.
So this is where money could have exchanged hands again. Because Carson, like I said, initially said that Hernandez was definitely the shooter. He said it to the T. It's a Hispanic, large dude with a lot of tattoos. Other witnesses from that night started saying when Massachusetts police went to go investigate that it was definitely a black guy. It was a black guy with cornrows. Don't worry about it.
Oh, come on.
Mullins ended up re-interviewing Carson, and Carson took back his statement of his shooter matching Hernandez and said he never saw Hernandez at the scene, like never seen him before. He just assumed that he was the shooter because, quote, they had words earlier at the club.
I just assumed he was the shooter because he had a gun out and he shot my friends.
Yeah. So, yeah, another from 2007. So that's 5 years before the shooting in Boston. Same thing. They're leaving a club. Someone gets mad, goes up to their car and shoots them while they're in their car. No charges filed. In 2011, there's a fight in front of Aaron Hernandez's house. 3:45 a.m. on April 30th, 2011, police respond to a fight in front of Hernandez's rented townhouse in Plainville, Massachusetts. A high school friend had been pulled over earlier in the evening after driving Hernandez home from a Boston bar. The driver was fucking weaving everywhere and going through lanes traveling at 120 miles an hour in a work zone on a highway with a speed limit of 55 miles an hour. The Mass State Trooper who pulled over the car did not arrest the driver because he recognized Hernandez in the passenger seat. So he's just getting away with everything no matter what. People are like, "Oh my God, Aaron Hernandez, please keep driving at 120 miles an hour.
That really must feel like an invincibility shield.
Yeah.
If you're a star NFL player.
Yeah, exactly. And so he was pulled over by the Mass State Police. He gets let off. They go home. Then they get into a fight in front of his house. The Plainville officers, the local police that show up, they recognize Hernandez and yell at them, "Just go inside, go inside." No charges filed.
Do they all have bets on the league or something?
Yes.
How could you care that much to look the other way for serious crimes?
They're just taking care of who they like. That's it. That happens all the time.
Yeah, and they might get shit from people in the department. And yeah. Like, dude, do you know who you busted?
Yeah.
That's Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, because that's the last thing you want is, you know, a town that is close to this billion-dollar franchise and having the franchise be mad at you because you made them look bad. It is what it is. Because the Patriots do a lot of fundraisers for local causes, and you don't want to be on that shit list.
And the cops probably got fundraisers on behalf of the Patriots organization.
Oh, yeah,
Robert Kraft.
Yeah. 2012, the Boston double homicide that we talked about, very similar.
Where a spilled drink
leads
to two dead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So there's video of Hernandez and the victim before the actual shooting here.
Investigators have released new documents that detail the role believed to be played by Aaron Hernandez, the former Patriots tight end, in the July 2012 double murder of two Boston men late night, early morning outside a nightclub. Hernandez is believed to be shown on videotape entering a nightclub behind the two victims who were shot and killed later that evening, but Hernandez left just 10 minutes later, according to police. Video then shows Hernandez returning to his car, accompanied by Alexander Bradley, a known accomplice of his, who in another case is suing Hernandez. The two men are then seen entering their car, and the tape shows them circling the block in what seems to be stalking the victims. Bradley was later summoned by a grand jury to appear and to testify about that shooting, but refused and ended up being charged with obstruction of justice and is being held in Connecticut. Police are now seeking jailhouse tapes in which Bradley is believed to have discussed his role or the details of that double shooting. The Globe has previously reported that investigators believe this double murder may be linked to the June murder of Odin Lloyd, a Dorchester man who prosecutors have alleged Aaron Hernandez orchestrated his killing. For the Boston Globe, this is Wesley Lowry.
Okay, so that's actually really important to know that it was Alexander Bradley that was there with Aaron Hernandez, because he comes up later trying to be a victim. So like we said, that was in connection with the double homicide that took place on July 16th, 2012, near the Cure Lounge in Boston's Theater District.
Like the Broadway district?
Yeah.
Not alleging anything, but what was Hernandez doing hanging out there?
Hey.
With the cast of Cats.
Because he likes pussy? Daniel Jorge Correa de Abreu, who is 29 years old, and Safiro Teixeira Furtado, 28 years old. They were both immigrants from Cape Verde living in Dorchester, and they were killed by gunshots fired into their vehicle. All the witnesses that were there said they saw Hernandez's silver SUV pull up next to the victims, and someone from his car yelled racial epithets towards them. Then someone...
I thought you were trying to say Rachel Dolezal.
Rachel Dolezal's towards them. That's even scarier. Someone from the car then shot how many? Five times, killing both people. 5 years earlier, five shots into a car with two people after a nightclub.
But why five?
I don't know.
Even a six shooter has six.
That's true.
Why five? So you're saying it's that meticulous?
Maybe. It's weird that it's only both leaving a club, both five times.
So that's his signature, like the Joker leaving the playing card?
Yeah, I think so. Jeez. Five times!
Like, what the? Why is that cool to him? Like, hey, did you see? I shot five times again.
Yeah.
They call me the five. No, they call me El Cinco.
Cinco! So it wasn't known until the 2013 trial, but police immediately identified Aaron Hernandez, but they thought it was a coincidence that he was there. Just a major coincidence. They get into an altercation after a spilled drink. Then Hernandez leaves in his car, tails the one that they're killed in. Big coinky dink.
Yeah.
And so this was a huge deal. Alexander Bradley is likely the person who helped kill these guys.
And who's this guy?
This guy, in 2013, so shortly after, let's see, July, about 6 months later, 7 months later, 2013, Miami shooting of Alexander Bradley. In February 2013, Hernandez, Bradley, and several others visited a Florida strip club where they rang up a $10,000 bill.
A $10,000? How many lap dances is that?
Hernandez.
$10,001 bills.
Yeah. Hernandez began to worry about the two men sitting across from them, believing they were undercover Boston police officers tailing them. He recalled telling Hernandez that they were probably tracking his car as a part of their investigation into the double murder outside of Cure, which they were both at. Hernandez and Bradley had a troubled relationship at this point. They're saying that they're constantly paranoid of each other telling on the other one.
As you would be if you both participated in a double homicide.
Yeah.
And you would be paranoid about the cops constantly.
Yeah.
That's got a way on a guy.
Right. So Bradley was shit-faced and said that on February 13th, 2013, he woke up in a car with Hernandez pointing a gun at his face.
What?
The next morning, police found Bradley lying in a parking lot and bleeding from a bullet hole between his eyes.
And he survived that?
So he's done a lot of headshots and only... killed one or two.
That's actually pretty skillful.
He shot four people in the head and only two died.
Wow, he's like a surgeon.
50-50. Cutting for the very first time.
You know, I was wondering, because seeing the guy on the stand, you just had a video up, he looks like he was shot in the face.
Yep. So he survived.
I mean, no disrespect.
No, definitely disrespect. Fuck him. Bradley survived.
Fine, he looks... He looks like the guy from Goonies.
I love you, Chunk. He lost his right eye.
If he was shot.
Yeah. He didn't cooperate with police because he wanted some street justice.
Yeah.
Bradley and Hernandez exchanged more than 500 text messages in the next 90 days. That to me is more of an indication that he might be into guys, texting guys that much.
And they would talk on the phone for 6 hours at a time.
Yeah, with their feet up on the bed, just kicking the air, curling the cord, saying, "You hang up. No, you hang up."
And what, Bradley didn't have enough holes for him already?
He had one more. His right eye socket.
Jesus.
So they were actually...
Even the Toxic Avengers going like, dude, what happened to your face?
Jesus. Rocky Dennis over here.
Rocky Dennis is like, yo, bro.
You look like shit.
Sorry, man. Tough break.
Yeah. They were threatening to kill each other, and Bradley was trying to extort him.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like a couple.
Yeah. Bradley told Hernandez that he had semi-automatic weapons, bulletproof vests, and a crew that ran six deep. I think he was talking about his dick.
It's really ramping up at this point. Oh, the skeletons in his closet, so to speak.
Hernandez's agent tried to settle the matter quietly. So he's getting his sports agent involved in this shit, which is crazy.
There comes a point where things cannot be settled quietly anymore.
No.
When your client is a fucking madman.
Shooting people in the face. So Bradley, he was trying to get $5 million from Aaron, and Aaron said, how about $1.5 million? Then Bradley was like, all right, how about $2.5 million? And then Hernandez never responded.
We're negotiating here. Come on.
Yeah. So on June 13th, 2013, just a matter of days before he killed Odin Lloyd, Bradley filed a civil lawsuit for damages against Hernandez in a Florida federal court. He withdrew the suit 4 days later. I wonder why. Because that's the night he fucking killed somebody.
But then why would he withdraw the suit?
Because he knows he means business and he'll fucking kill him too.
Oh, okay. Because at that point, he's being arrested, though. He's incarcerated.
No, not yet. It took like 10 days for that to happen.
It did?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't arrest him day one. They went to talk to him.
Okay. My timing is way off then. So he had 10 days to get his affairs in order.
Yeah.
To be clear, that footage where he has the t-shirt covering his top half and being arrested, that's 10 days after the murder.
Yeah.
And that was your buddy that was tipped off.
Yes. So yeah, he withdrew the suit the day that Odin Lloyd was killed, and he wanted to work out a settlement without the media knowing about it.
Aaron Hernandez is like, settle this.
Yeah. Ah, you shot me in the head again. I'm still alive. Well, I only have one bullet left because I used five before. That's the sixth one. That's all I got. On September 3rd, 2013, Hernandez's lawyers filed a postponement request in federal court until his murder charges were resolved. So then in February 2016, Hernandez finally reached a settlement with Bradley over his lawsuit. The terms were never disclosed.
Wow. And Bradley served time, correct? He didn't?
Mm-mm.
He got a deal?
Not even.
Because they couldn't prove that he was involved.
They couldn't prove he was the one that pulled the trigger, so they didn't even bother prosecuting. May 11, 2015, Hernandez was indicted for witness intimidation in relation to Bradley's shooting, since Bradley was reportedly a witness to the 2012 Boston double homicide. The intimidation charge for Hernandez carried a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. This charge was included in Hernandez's trial for the double homicide, which began March 1, 2017. During the trial, it was revealed that Bradley texted his lawyer about the shooting in a deleted text message, which read, "Now you sure? Once I withdraw this lawsuit, I won't be held on a perjury charge after I tell the truth about me not recalling anything about who shot me?" Hernandez was later acquitted of this charge.
I is smart.
Yeah. So he's acquitted of the witness intimidation charge and found not guilty on other charges related to the murders of De Abreu and Furtado.
The 2012 people.
The only thing he was found guilty for was one count of illegal possession of a firearm.
Wow.
Yeah. So Alexander Bradley's a real fucking bag of trash.
He is.
Helps him fucking...
And he looks like a bag of trash.
Yeah.
Now.
So he goes from helping him kill these two people who just by accident spill a fucking drink on Hernandez to trying to be like, oh, poor me, I lost my eye, he left me for dead, he shot me in the face. And it's like, dude, that was your fucking homie. That's who you're out there fucking committing crimes with.
Yeah.
And you want everybody to feel bad for you? Because he did that before the details of the 2012 shooting happened. So he's like walking around like, oh, help me. My eye's gone. Fucking Aaron shot me in the face. And then they're like, but weren't you with him when he fucking killed two other people? He's like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that.
And possibly shot the gun himself, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't. Okay, so in 2013, there's actually some criminal mischief happening with Aaron Hernandez in California.
So he is going all over. He's national.
Yeah.
He's a menace to the United States.
Yes. He went to California with his wife, Cheyenne Jenkins, and their daughter in 2013 because he was supposed to have shoulder surgery. And when he was there, his wife called the police twice in the matter of a few days, saying that Hernandez was drunk and violent. In his first incident, Hernandez put his hand through a window. Very nice. And then Hernandez's brother and friends later said that there were drugs and guns in the rented apartment, but police determined that Jenkins and the child were not in danger, and they never searched the premises.
Does this guy ever just stay home and watch The Bachelor with some popcorn?
Nope. Instead, they look at a barrel of a gun. Because DJ Hernandez found his younger brother alone on the roof of the building one night, rubbing the barrel of a gun against his face.
Do you think that that is a cry for help or another way to get attention? Do you think he was actually suicidal?
He could have been. I think he could have been.
Because there sometimes is a fine line between homicidal and suicidal. I'm not saying if you're suicidal that you're homicidal.
Right.
But if you're homicidal, you certainly could be suicidal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. He might have been too narcissistic to want to actually commit suicide. So it might have been a little like, as soon as he heard his brother coming up the ladder, he's like, oh, he puts the gun to his face then.
Right.
Like we said, nobody ever knew about any of these things until the murder of Odin Lloyd. And then that's when they looked into the 2012 shooting. And then that's when they looked into everything else. So there were plenty of red flags there for everyone to see. The only reason you can't really blame the criminal justice system at large is because they're all local incidents that other police departments don't know about in other states.
So how could we improve that system?
I mean, you really could have improved it in Gainesville when all the crazy shit was happening in Florida, punching the bar manager over a $12 tab, and then that never being reported. And then the 2007 Gainesville shooting where he shot 5 times into a car, shooting 2 people, 1 in the head. And then, you know, it gets over to the 2012 shooting where they clearly saw Aaron Hernandez bump up against this guy. And then there's other footage of him following the two guys that they got into an altercation with just minutes after, just individually. If they had stopped him the first time, then it would have been put on the books that he was arrested for assaulting a bar manager, arrested for being connected with a shooting in 2007, arrested for getting into a fight outside of his apartment in Plainville.
It's actually a series of micro problems.
Yeah.
That could have made for a better solution in the end.
Yes, exactly.
At least maybe preventing another murder.
Yeah.
If they had, you know, given him justice in time.
Yeah.
And you might want to even blame some of the Patriots organization.
Oh, absolutely.
For turning a blind eye to what is obviously a dangerous individual.
Mr. Bradley turned a blind eye to it because he got his eye shot out by Aaron Hernandez.
I like how he was trying to get a big settlement before they knew what he did.
Yeah, poor me.
He must have thought, you know, in the kingdom of the blind, you know what they say.
The man with the Red Ryder BB gun is king. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
The man who looks like Cyclops is king.
So, yeah, there was a lot of
the man who looks like Jason Voorhees when he took his mask off.
There was a lot of fallout, and it's interesting to go back and see how people handled it and what actually happened. So Bert Kreischer pretends to be a Patriots fan here, asking Julian Edelman, who is one of the best all-time wide receivers for the Patriots, got many rings. He's asking him essentially what would have happened without Aaron being on the team. But he asks a very specific question related to that, which I have a bone to pick with.
All right.
I never believed. I know this sounds crazy, but like even when it was proven, like there's certain things where I go, is he getting railroaded by the media? Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stick of bubble gum in the murder weapon.
It didn't look good.
Yeah.
Is it an ongoing case?
I think he was like, I'm done.
I mean, is it an ongoing case? He's been dead for years. And when Julian's asked, this is like recently.
You gotta be kidding.
Yeah. And this is the part of the question I get so annoyed, because he's like building up to what he wanted to really ask, but he's just kicking the fucking ball around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think he's going
to. Terrible. Yeah. He was actually, I mean, it was sad.
He's that a good looking dude. If can I ask you a weird question?
Julian's like, I don't know what you want me to say about any of this. He's a good looking dude. Bert always talks about how good looking guys are too, by the way.
Well, yeah, there's rumors about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Not homicidal rumors, but homosexual.
Yeah.
If Aaron Hernandez doesn't kill that dude and doesn't go to prison, do we get Gronk?
We drafted Gronk two rounds before in the same fucking draft. Aaron Hernandez came after Gronk.
So why is Bert Kreischer even asking?
He's pretending to be a sports fan. He has no fucking idea what he's talking about.
I'll admit, I know this because I have lived through our episode here.
Yeah.
And clearly remember that. But he's asking it like, you're right, like he's this
like he's
expert.
A Pats fan.
Yeah.
Do we get Gronk? Do we?
And doesn't go to prison. Do we get Gronk?
We don't get me.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the most interesting part. And it'll go into a little bit of depth as to why, but...
And he let him off the hook there.
Big time. Big time.
That was nice of him.
To be like, hey, dum-dum, we got him before Aaron Hernandez, by the way.
Question. If Aaron Hernandez doesn't kill that dude and doesn't go to prison, do we get Gronk?
Gronk's been on the team for 3 years at this point. Come on, dude.
Wow. And this guy has assistants, writers...
Oh, he doesn't give a fuck.
Nobody could provide him with the correct information to ask that kind of question.
He fumbles every interview he's ever done with anyone. Have you seen the Adam Sandler one?
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, man, I love Happy Madison. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. And he's like, okay, buddy, thank you. Thank you for that.
Weird question. If Aaron Hernandez doesn't kill that dude and doesn't go to prison, do we get Gronk?
We don't get me.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The year he...
So there is a glass half full in every case.
No, that's a terrible situation
so
for all parties,
that?
But I did do well
He's
off
still
of it.
Laughing.
He doesn't stop.
What?
Honestly, that year, Hernandez gets arrested, Gronk breaks his back.
Yeah.
They sign Amendola, he got hurt.
Danny Amendola, holy shit, remember him.
Yeah, and then they're like, and I was there, I didn't have much... stats or anything, and they didn't want to give me the keys or anything, but they had no choice, and then I took it and ran.
Wow. It's,
yeah, literally.
Yeah, so if Aaron Hernandez is still on the team, we never get Julian Edelman, which I think is insane because he is responsible for a lot of our success, and to think of him never being a part of that would be, it's just crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But all because of Bert's dumbass question. Do we get the guy that's been on the team?
Do we get Gronk?
Well,
if Jeffrey Dahmer hadn't been arrested, do we get Favre?
Do we get Gronk?
That's me
asking
that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what Gronk thinks about all this, because he was actually interviewed by CBS this morning.
And Gronkowski, he's one of the more beloved figures of Patriots football.
Oh, yeah.
Major figure in entertainment. And
yeah. And he is not shy. So they ask him a very pointed question, and it's actually pretty interesting to see how he responds.
I do have to ask you, when you heard about Aaron Hernandez, what you thought, what your reaction was?
Next question. I learned that from Drew Rosenhaus. Next question. But...
It had to be a shock for you, though. It had to be a shock for all your teammates.
Next question.
The laughing is so...
All right, then I'll ask you.
Intense.
So then he turns to his dad and goes, so I'll ask you. and put you on the hot seat now. And Gronk is glaring at his father sitting next to him right now.
Seems to me that these two men played on opposite sides of the line, but they had more than that in terms of being opposites.
They played on the same side of the line there, buddy. They played the same position.
What's with all these interviewers getting facts wrong?
They played on opposite sides of the line. No.
And I truthfully, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go there.
Right now. Don't walk off.
Right now. I'll change this.
So Gronk gets up and he's like, I'm done with this interview. And the guy's like, please don't.
Subject.
Yeah, change it.
Yeah, we can't go there with that.
Wow.
And he does sit back down, but he makes it very clear he's not answering any questions about Aaron Hernandez.
It's smart for him, but...
Yeah.
You can't say anything about the psycho that...
It's a tragic situation.
Famously played with?
Yeah. He wishes he played with him. Well, Aaron wishes Gronk played with him. Okay, yeah.
His cock and balls,
gotcha, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. So... What do you think of that? Him not answering the questions?
I don't think it's on him to answer any questions about Hernandez. Robert Kraft was very pointed in his press conference that he said he's not going to discuss any details of the case, and he requests that all media personnel and organization personnel do the same. So he wasn't going to risk his job talking about Aaron Hernandez.
And the Patriots dodged a bullet because I saw Robert Kraft... from an interview at the time on CBS this morning. And Aaron Hernandez is one of the topics, like you would put it on the board for like coffee talk. We're talking about all sorts of things here.
Talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, so then Gayle King just keeps firing like, oh, what about that, you know, that funny commercial you were in? And what about this season? Oh, yeah, and what about Aaron Hernandez? So yeah. They spend like 15 seconds on it. And he's like, oh, it's a tragedy. Then they go right on to the next thing.
Wow.
So I believe that's how the media treated this.
Yeah.
They just let everybody off the hook so that they really didn't have to talk about it.
Yeah. In one of the latest episodes of The Dynasty, which is on Apple TV, they directly say to Bill Belichick, they go, so what did you do with the information that Aaron gave you saying in 2013 he was scared for his family's lives and he wanted to trade out of town to a West Coast team? And Belichick just goes, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, and I have nothing to add to it. And that's it. They're not going to talk about this shit ever until maybe their freaking deathbed when it's like 40 years away.
To be fair, now. To be fair, that's more than Belichick has said about on any occasion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad what happened with Aaron. Next question, please.
That was him going wild.
Yeah. So... when we were talking about the trial, too, of his killing of Odin Lloyd, they found the gum and the shell casing inside the rental car. The police just wanted to speak to him at first to be like, did you know your future brother-in-law was killed a mile away from your house? And they were like, he was very forthcoming. He was very nice, very polite. But then after a while of talking to him, he just shut off and was like, I'm not talking to you. I need to talk to my lawyer, and ran inside and locked the door on the police. So that's when they were like, okay, maybe he has some involvement in this. So they go, they get a search warrant to be able to go into his house and see, because they notice that he has security cameras all on the outside of the house. And they're like, oh, we can get into that system. When they show up with the search warrant, they find that the home security computer has been absolutely demolished.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't know, and he didn't know, that they could just take the computer chips out of it and still find what was on it. And they did. And so we have some of the video footage here.
Wow. So is this the night before?
This is the right after the murder.
Okay.
They're getting out of the car in
the
driveway.
Picked up Owen Lloyd at 2:23. Only three people return to Aaron Hernandez's house. Aaron Hernandez, Ernest Wallace, and Carlos Ortiz. The defendant inputs the code into the overhead garage door opener. The three of them duck quickly before the door is even completely open into the garage. The defendant leads them through the house, telling them to be quiet. His fiancée and baby.
I love how he's telling them to be quiet in his own house. But it's because his wife and kid is there.
Well, yeah, isn't that what you do in your own house?
Be quiet.
Very, very sneaky.
And for what?
Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz initially go down to the basement. Over the next few minutes, you'll see during the course of the trial on the video surveillance, the defendant is moving around, comes down from the first floor into the basement, moving around on the first floor. And you will see, ladies and gentlemen, the defendant standing outside of the entrance to his basement holding a gun. In the course of this trial, you'll hear from a representative of the law. He'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that that appearance is unique. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a Glock.
So that is the Glock that matches the bullet casings that are found, the shell casings that were found in the car and near his body. And they never found that gun again.
What do you think happened to it?
I can show you exactly what happened to it.
Oh.
The next day, he asked his wife to throw out the garbage.
Yeah.
As you do. You have the wife take the garbage out. Nice.
Family man in the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Evidence in the Aaron Hernandez murder trial, and it came as one of his maids testified today. Prosecutors played surveillance video, which you see here. It shows his fiance carrying a trash bag out to her sister's car the day after Odin Lloyd was murdered. Christina Hager is live in Fall River.
So how fucked up is that? Her sister's car, the woman who's dating Odin Lloyd, brings her possibly the murder weapon that was never recovered to be thrown away.
That is sickening.
Mm-hmm.
With the newest details tonight, Christina.
Well, David, Aaron Hernandez's fiance is on the list of prosecution witnesses. She's been granted immunity, but we have not heard from her. We did see her today, though, in that surveillance video that could be incriminating.
When court started, the seat was empty. Aaron Hernandez's fiance has not been in the spot reserved for his family and friends in 5 days. She did show up in video, though, the day after the murder, carrying a trash bag with an outline of a box inside, hints that she may have been stashing the murder weapon, which was never found. Several camera angles show it, and that's her sister's car trunk she stuffed it in. Her sister, the victim's girlfriend, Shania Jenkins, has already testified. Yes, Cheyenne asked to borrow the car that day to get cash for the house cleaners. It doesn't add up since the head house cleaner testified she was paid by check. Her assistant remembers Cheyenne carrying that mysterious bag.
She was crying. She was nervous, and she was walking back and forth.
Also crying in court today, Odin Lloyd's mother, who mouthed the words, "my baby," as autopsy photos were shown. Prosecutors don't have a murder weapon, but they did show the imprint of one on a mattress cover, where a gun was said to be kept under the mattress in Hernandez's home. Jurors saw the clothes taken off Odin Lloyd's body after the murder. His mother tried to stay and watch, but in the end, left overwhelmed.
He didn't even destroy the clothes. You would think that clothes would be the easiest thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
This guy wanted to be caught, it seems like. It seems like he didn't care, and yet somehow didn't think he was going to get caught, and yet he was putting it all out there in the open. So it's very odd to know what he was actually thinking.
There was a little bit of an oh shit moment for him. If he's getting rid of the murder weapon and the wife is crying, going out to the car with this box, but she also asked Odin's girlfriend, which is her sister, to borrow her car, even though there's nothing but cars in the driveway. That to me, I'd be like, why the fuck do you need to borrow my car? I live in an apartment. You guys live in a fucking house and you're millionaires. What do you need my car for? They have their cars. It's just a very odd thing.
So and the wife was in on it, you think?
I am wondering now if they were trying to let some of the DNA fall out and be like, oh, it was the gunpowder's in her trunk. Maybe she's the one who did it.
Yeah, so the wife would have had to have been in on it then.
I think she probably knew what had happened, and yeah, she's trying to cover it up a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
He may have given her a story on why they had to do that.
Oh, of course he did.
He was threatening us.
Yeah. Because Robert Kraft said, he point blank asked Aaron Hernandez if he was involved, and we had played that in the last episode. He said, I will get you the best defense lawyers, you know, on my dime. And he's like, I swear I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And he believed him. And he said it forever changed his life to be able to be lied to like that. And he just accepted it as fact.
Right.
And now he can't be as trusting of people anymore.
At what point did Aaron Hernandez make his final visit to the Patriots offices to say goodbye to Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft?
Oh, they followed him with helicopters the day before.
The day before he was arrested?
Yeah.
So they followed him as he went to say his goodbyes to his soon-to-be former bosses.
Yeah. Yep, right here.
Eyewitness News has new video which shows Hernandez arriving at his attorney's office in Boston earlier today. The football star has not been charged with anything, but he's reportedly not being ruled out in the investigation.
Eyewitness News has been at Hernandez's home in North Attleboro, tracking every development since we broke the story on Tuesday. That's where we find Jennifer Mobilia once again tonight with the latest information for us.
Well, that's right, Mike and Susan. There are still a lot of unanswered questions tonight surrounding this homicide investigation and Aaron Hernandez. Among them, where is Aaron Hernandez? He left his beautiful North Attleboro home this morning around 11 o'clock, and he hasn't been back since. Also, Patriots fans, they want to know, come September 8th, when the Patriots open their season in Buffalo, will Hernandez be on the field? New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez emerged from his luxurious North Attleboro home Thursday morning, driving away in a white Audi SUV. News helicopters followed the NFL star as he made his way to Gillette Stadium. About an hour later, Hernandez left the stadium in Foxborough and drove to his attorney's office in Boston. Along the way, news crews caught up with Hernandez in Boston as he stopped for gas. They asked several questions.
Gas was $3.89?
Whoa.
But not a peep from Hernandez. Thursday evening, Michael Fee, the tight end's lawyer, told our Boston affiliate, WBZ-TV, quote, his vehicle is still here. My client is gone for the day. Fee wouldn't talk about the investigation. He would only say some of the media reports are inaccurate. Meanwhile, back in North Attleboro, police continued searching for a fourth straight day, looking for clues as to who killed 27-year-old semi-pro football player Odin Lloyd.
They find Aaron Lloyd's Hernandez's jersey in the sand.
A mile away from Hernandez's home. CBS News is reporting Odin Lloyd
Aaron Hernandez has sand coming out of his pants.
The Bristol County District Attorney's Office is still asking for the public's help finding
his
a
face is all like sooty.
Similar yeah. to this one. The DA's office said, office
yeah, that was a big thing. Asking, they were trying to find his side view mirror because it was knocked off. And when they came back with just three people after they picked up Odin Lloyd, it was just three of them in the side mirror was missing.
Finding a silver mirror cover similar to this one. The DA's office says the mirror is believed to have broken off a vehicle connected to the investigation and may be visible along a route of travel between Dorchester, where the victim is from, and North Attleboro. Again, the big question here tonight, where is Aaron Hernandez and is he connected to this homicide investigation? All questions we're going to continue to investigate for you. Reporting live with the Southeastern Massachusetts Mobile Newsroom, I'm Jennifer Mobilia, Eyewitness News.
Yep.
So his final day was a mixture of OJ and the Bronco with the ending of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Pretty without stressful
without getting whacked. Yeah, so like I said, there was two people in the car with Aaron Hernandez. Hernandez was convicted of the June 17th 2013 killing of Odin Lloyd. He was serving life without the possibility of parole, although he said he intends to appeal. Carlos Ortiz of Bristol, Connecticut changed his plea to guilty on Monday in Bristol Superior Court in Massachusetts as part of a deal with prosecutors who dropped murder charges against him. He was sentenced to 4.5 to 7 years in prison.
So he was just a ride along.
Yeah. Ortiz and Ernest Wallace were with Hernandez the night of Lloyd's death. Prosecutors used surveillance video and other evidence to show that the three men traveled to Boston together, picked up Lloyd, then brought him to a deserted industrial park near Hernandez's home. Odin was found shot to death at the park hours later. Both Ortiz and Wallace were initially charged with accessory after the fact and later charged with murder. Wallace was tried earlier this year and convicted of the accessory charge, but found not guilty of murder. He also was sentenced to 4.5 to 7 years in prison. So these guys are already out and about.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
That is. And they know exactly what happened that night.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yep. American Sports Story. Did that come out already? Ryan Murphy's FX anthology series, American Sports Story.
No, it hasn't come out yet.
Catfish Gene joins cast as Aaron Hernandez's friend, Ernest Bo Wallace. So he's out of prison, and he's got someone playing him in the Ryan Murphy anthological limited series.
So this is going to be like Dahmer.
Yeah.
Except crazier.
Patrick Schwarzenegger is going to play NFL star Tim Tebow.
Okay, I could see that. He's a little skinny for that, though.
Yeah.
Who's playing Aaron Hernandez? Oh, is that really who they're casting?
Josh Andres Rivera.
That is terrible casting. They look nothing alike, not even in the same universe.
Hold on, let me see who this is.
Maybe if they give this guy some steroids and protein powder. Look at him.
And dick.
He looks like he looks like a theater kid.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't look like him at all.
He looks like Peter Pan. Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, you know, this is what we thought about the Joker being taken on by Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I might have to eat my words if this turns out great.
Yeah.
But judging by the pictures, uh-uh.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird casting.
Yeah. Unless are they casting the Jailhouse Lover? Not to get ahead of myself.
He is one of those people.
Well, we'll see, you know.
It remains to be seen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it hasn't aired yet.
That's right.
Okay, so those guys got off.
Yeah. And then they were also acquitted. No, they got off light.
Yes.
Yeah. 4.5 to 7 years a pop. They clearly were involved with the murder. It should have been much longer than that. But, you know, the justice system is the justice system, and we have to abide, I guess. Just like the dude, we must abide.
Apparently.
Yeah. So he's found guilty of the Odin Lloyd murder. He's then in the middle of an appeal. After that, he is acquitted of the double homicide in Boston's theater district. And just 6 days later, would be found hanging in his cell of an apparent suicide.
What?
Yeah.
Is this like a Jeffrey Epstein type thing in your opinion, or?
Not in my opinion. In Cheyenne Jenkins' opinion, yes. His wife, she doesn't believe that he would ever do that to himself or to his family.
But he would give her a trash bag filled with a murder weapon?
Yes.
Of his sister's boyfriend and not care?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, when it comes to suicide, that's outrageous.
Yeah, she's trying to pull a Josh Dubin on us.
Yeah.
This miracle of a man has never hurt a fly, but he has murdered fucking a bunch of people.
You're, of course, referring to the Joe Rogan guest who was a reformed criminal.
Yeah.
That went on to dismember his friend a month later.
Yeah, nice guy. Stand-up guy.
Okay, so Aaron Hernandez is found in his cell. He hung himself.
Yeah.
Using a sheet?
Yes.
Holy sheet.
Holy sheet! Holy sheet, man! Don't take my word for it. Take Miss Jenkins' word for it, because she went on and spoke to Dr. Phil.
Oh, Dr. Phil.
All roads lead back to Dr. Phil on this podcast, if you haven't noticed yet. Let's see what they had to say here.
Reported several drawings and the words John 3:16 written on the wall in blood, and said that he marked on the verse John 3:16 and that he had written John 3:16 in ink on his forehead.
Right.
Does that sound like him?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, especially because Aaron was, he was spiritual, but he wasn't the kind of guy to get up every Sunday and go to church.
Really?
Yeah. I love how that's like the most unbelievable thing she's ever heard. With everything that he's done, she's like, but he's not religious.
And isn't it the most common thing for an inmate to find God?
Yeah. It's hack.
Not saying that things may have changed being there. You have nothing but time to think and to explore other options.
Sexually.
But it just, it, no.
So he was spiritual but not religious.
Correct.
It's a very big difference.
Right.
Did that verse have any special meaning to him? Had he ever talked to you about that verse
before? Well, he was verse.
Personally, no.
Never mentioned it to you before?
No.
But this wasn't something that was in his rhetoric, his nomenclature. It wasn't something he talked about.
No, it wasn't something that he incorporated on every letter he wrote to me. No.
Yeah. Had he ever written it to you?
Not from my knowledge.
If he wrote that, this came out of the blue.
Absolutely.
And so for him to go from, babe, I got to go, we're getting ready to close the doors, to writing John 3:16 on his forehead a few hours later is a pretty big move. This is a pretty big departure from the man you talked to on the phone.
Right. It seems well thought out, in a sense.
What do you make of that?
None of it is very believable to me. Not the findings, not the investigation. I don't believe it. As far as the scripture, there was no knowledge.
She keeps bringing up the scripture like everything else.
And what is not believable about it? He was a psycho.
Yeah. You called the cops on him twice in California in a matter of weeks before this happened.
She's trying to get attention.
Yeah.
That he brought to my attention as far as, you know, any of it.
Well, the day of his passing, the surveillance video showed him on the phone just before being locked in his cell that night. So this would be the last call he was talking to you.
Right.
You would suspect.
Right.
And this was about the time.
You would suspect.
That they normally would shut things down and he would go to his cell, right?
I believe so. I mean, there were different times for everything.
And
it's not a very strong argument.
Yeah, you know how prisons do. They don't run on a schedule.
Right.
It's literally everything's the same every fucking day.
Guard checked him at 1 a.m. and he was alive. And surveillance video, they say that no one entered or left his cell from...
They entered and exited his butt.
From 8 p.m. and he was discovered at 3 a.m. Do you believe that?
I don't. I believe there's some uncounted time. I don't think that things were done properly. I feel like
and they say he was hung,
saved,
and he was hanging from a noose,
and he was hanged.
Come on.
I feel like she's like, Dr. Phil,
that's a very inappropriate joke to make.
And I want answers.
They also reported that he had soaped the floor. Put shampoo or whatever on the floor.
By the floor, I mean his bunk mate,
his bottom bunk, if you will.
And placed a sheet over the door to block vision and put cardboard in the slide where you couldn't get the door open. Do you believe all of that?
My door open.
The old cardboard lock. Stronger than steel.
Get on with it, Phil. I mean, what are you... What, someone snuck in there and murdered him to silence him?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
I think until we can get in there and do our own investigation, and I actually...
Look forward to that.
I guess trust where these answers are coming from. Maybe I can have some comfort in the truth.
Okay.
You're not going to get comfort, but... You did get the truth.
Yeah. Well, there's still speculation as to why he committed suicide so soon after the acquittal, because that should have been a win for him.
Okay, so he was guilty of the murder of Odin Lloyd.
Yep.
But then he was acquitted on the 2012 deaths of the people that had spilled the drink on him.
Yes. And
which should have been a win for him.
Yeah. 6 days later, he's found hanging in his cell. And people are like, why would he do that? You know, he was just on appeal. But then there's also people who said he did that on purpose during the appeal, because Massachusetts state law says if you die during your appeal, your guilt can be revoked. And if your guilt is revoked, then you can get the money you're owed from your contracts and stuff like that. So I think people are saying he might have committed suicide to try to get more money for his wife and child.
So that would have been the one good thing he did in this whole mess.
Yeah.
If that's true.
If it's true, which we do not know.
It's hard to believe he would kill himself for any other reason, though, at this point.
Yeah.
At that point, I should say.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is what happened. In 2015, Hernandez was convicted of killing semi-professional football player Odin Lloyd. 2 years later, the 27-year-old was found dead in his prison cell days after being acquitted of most of the charges in a separate double murder case. A judge threw out Hernandez's conviction that year, citing the legal principle that holds that a defendant convicted at trial who dies before an appeal should no longer be considered guilty in the eyes of the law, therefore returning the case to its pre-trial status. Under the doctrine rooted in centuries of English law, a conviction should not be considered final until an appeal can determine whether mistakes were made that deprived the defendant of a fair trial. And prosecutors have said that the legal doctrine is outdated and it's unfair to victims, which I think is true.
Hmm.
But then, in 2019, a Massachusetts highest court reinstated the late Aaron Hernandez's murder conviction, which was erased after the former NFL star died by suicide in prison. The Supreme Judicial Court also scrapped the legal principle that wiped out Hernandez's conviction in the first place for future cases, calling it an outdated and no longer consonant with the circumstances of contemporary life. So it was a major defeat for Odin Lloyd's family. Like, they felt like justice wasn't served.
Yeah.
It was taken away from them after they got it. And they felt like that might even affect them for a civil case, trying to get money back. Because in the eyes of the law, he wasn't guilty. How could he, you know, how could the estate be sued if he wasn't responsible?
Yeah.
So all that goes away with it coming back.
Yeah, it was just a one final FU from Aaron.
Yeah. And there's other big cases that really fucked people over. There were other high-profile Massachusetts criminals whose convictions were erased after their deaths. That includes John Salvi, who was convicted of killing two abortion clinic workers and wounding five other people during a shooting rampage in Brookline in 1994. Roman Catholic priest John Gagan, a key figure in the clergy sex abuse scandal that rocked Boston and spread across the globe, also had his child molestation convictions vacated after he was beaten to death in 2003 at the same Massachusetts maximum security prison where Hernandez died.
What a gay. Gay.
Yeah.
What a way to get your record cleaned.
What a Gagan. Oh, man.
Gagan on this.
Yeah. Hernandez's attorney previously argued the legal doctrine should remain intact, saying juries make mistakes. Yeah, well, so do your clients, pal. And that's why they go to prison. And so after that, the only new thing that came out was...
No pun intended.
His lover's cock. Because in the days and months following Aaron Hernandez's death, a 22-year-old prisoner named Kyle Kennedy...
No relation to you.
No relation to Kyle. He was serving time for robbing a gas station at knife point, came out and said Aaron was his prison lover.
Ooh, do tell me more.
Ooh.
Girl.
Yeah, Kyle Kennedy was probably getting severely topped by this guy.
As he tells it, it was a Reels special.
Yeah.
That one channel called Reels.
Yeah.
That you sort of skip to get to bio channel.
Anything else?
Yeah. They did this big special, like Aaron's jailhouse lover talks.
Oh, God.
And in it, he said that he was his right-hand man.
Well, he used his right hand.
When that he, they got to know each other. And the first time Aaron said, just lay back, close your eyes, and I'll do the rest.
Wow.
And it blossomed from there. They had a romance.
Oh, boy.
And Kyle says they used to do everything together.
Kyle Kennedy says.
Not you, Kyle yeah. Kennedy.
Yeah, different one.
And that he says Aaron wrote him a suicide note.
Yes.
So there's another letter that he says the media tried to squash.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to be heard.
Yeah.
He's saying they very much loved each other.
Mm.
Quote, we used to write letters back and forth to each other all day. Don't they have anything better to do in prison?
Yeah. And we got a clip here of this guy.
Okay. Let's see what he has to say.
Kennedy, who was put on suicide watch after learning Hernandez hung himself, says he was a tortured soul.
We were together for a while. He just wanted to be real with himself before anyone. He's like, you know, he's like, I feel like I'm hiding in my own skin. He wanted to come out and tell the world. He just didn't know how his family would handle it. And that kid had a big heart. He worried about everyone else, like, first.
A big what?
Did he worry about everyone else first?
You know, worried about what his daughter might think. He had plans on going home. I'm going home soon, you know. Oh, we could be together in the street. What would people say? Would you be able to handle it? That was all new to me.
He had plans to be, you know, out sexually or out in the world, because the prison's like, wait, he did? Because we didn't have those plans. Get back in your cell.
And this guy, he's like a twink covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
And has like a weird ponytail thing going on at the top of his head.
Yeah, you can't even call that a man bun. It's like
no,
a boy nub.
Seems like a nice kid and all.
Sure.
And so
seems a little too happy to be there, given the circumstances.
Well, he's in love.
Did you know I sucked this murderer's cock?
No, he says that Aaron wrote him this sprawling letter, among others, where he said that they were going to marry each other and be together forever, and he loves him so much. Aaron called him his ride or die.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this?
I think it's a little bit of an attention grab.
It's some kind of grab.
Yeah. Little grab ass.
It's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, around. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it.
Maybe Aaron was blowing smoke up his ass,
yeah,
so that he could get up his ass.
Hey.
So, you know, say the right things.
Yeah. I mean, he does have letters that he went out and the Boston Herald and Daily Mail, all these people got their hands on and published. So it seems legit, at least that he was writing them letters. I don't know about all the other extracurricular
activities.
Yeah.
Kyle says that they had sex twice a week or more whenever they could.
Kyle Kennedy says that.
Kyle Kennedy. And yeah. I guess the final thing of interest from this guy is that Aaron admitted to the crimes to him.
Yeah.
And he hinted at possible further crimes, some of which you have outlined.
Yeah, exactly.
And so this interviewer points out, if we're to believe there's another victim, that means Aaron Hernandez was a serial killer.
Yep. Who the hell knows?
Well, I think it's time for
final thoughts.
Final thoughts. There is one more piece of information that came out after Aaron's death, because CTE is only able to be found out and reported on after you die. So they got to cut the cranium open and see how bad your fucking brain was. Aaron Hernandez from the Washington Post. Aaron Hernandez suffered from most severe CTE case ever found in a person his age.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's like as bad as Chris Benoit was.
Worse, because he was 27 and Benoit was 40 when he died. It's crazy. The Washington Post says, Aaron Hernandez suffered the most severe case of CTE ever discovered in a person his age. Damage that would have significantly affected his decision-making, judgment, and cognition, researchers at Boston University revealed at a medical conference Thursday. And this was in, this is November 9th, 2017. Ann McKee, head of BU's CTE Center, which has studied the disease caused by repetitive brain trauma for more than a decade, called Hernandez's brain one of the most significant contributions to our work because of the brain's pristine condition and the rare opportunity to study the disease in a 27-year-old.
Wow.
Hernandez, a former New England Patriot tight end, hanged himself with a bedsheet in April in a Massachusetts prison while serving a life sentence for the murder of Odin Lloyd in 2013. In a diagnosis that linked one of football's most notorious figures with the sport's most significant health risk, doctors found Hernandez had stage 3 CTE, which researchers had never seen in a brain younger than 46 years old.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Is that because he got started so early?
Yeah.
And that goes back to what I was saying. They were making him play both sides of the field.
Exactly.
You shouldn't do that to young kids.
Yeah.
Especially while their brain is developing.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what more his dad did. We know there was abuse, but could have been way worse than we even know now.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about the risk of going straight from senior year of high school and going right into college football. You are now playing with the big boys. Those guys are men who are, they're already bulked up more than any high school player that you're going to face, especially in Division One.
Yeah.
You're just playing at a regular high school in Bristol, Connecticut. Now, all of a sudden, you're going up against people who have 40, 50 more pounds of muscle layered on since they've been out of high school for a while.
Right.
So he just went in, didn't have the muscle that he would end up having, and just got his ass fucking kicked for the first couple of years.
Got his ass handed to him.
Handed some other people their asses, too.
Yeah, he's used to fucking the quarterback in his bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Not getting fucked by the defensive line on the field. Sorry. I appreciate if you're still listening.
Yeah. The extent of that damage represents another signpost in football's ongoing concussion crisis, which has seen professional players weigh early retirements and parents grapple with whether to allow their young sons to take up the sport.
I would really have to think about that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to think about that, sir.
I know. It is something you got to think about. You got to play some flag football before you get into real football.
Flag football is fun.
Sure.
Stick with that.
Yeah. Because the center has received few brains from people Hernandez's age, McKee could not say whether his brain was representative of a 27-year-old who had played as much football. But that's obviously not true, because they had said his advancement of his CTE has never been seen in anyone younger than 46. That is a 19-year age gap. So, of course, it's not normal. It is not representative of a 27-year-old.
No.
In this age group, he's clearly at the severe end of this spectrum. There's a concern that we're seeing accelerated disease in young athletes. Whether or not that's because they're playing more aggressively or if they're starting at younger ages, we don't know. But we are seeing ravages of this disease in this specific example in a young person.
Wow.
Hernandez's brain had dark spots associated with tau protein and shrunken, withered areas compared with immaculate white of the sample. His brain had significant damage to the frontal lobe, which impacts a person's ability to make decisions and moderate behavior. As some new slides appeared on the projectors, some physicians and conference attendees gasped. So they're shocking people who have been dealing with this disease for years.
One of the doctors spit out his Sprite and removed his glasses.
Said, my God. The severity of this CTE, he would have difficulty with impulse control, decision making, impulses for aggression, emotional volatility, and rage behaviors. We know that collectively.
That's Aaron Hernandez in a nutshell.
No, this is Aaron Hernandez in a nutshell. Oh my God, I'm in a nutshell. Shot five times. Yeah, so the final thought for me is, like, it's really sad the way he grew up, but there is no excuse for what he grew up to be. And I don't care if it's because he felt, you know, like he had to prove himself as a man because he was hiding his homosexuality. It's just, that's just bullshit.
And who would care in this day and age?
Nobody.
He would have actually gotten a ton of accolades.
Yeah. Because he would have been
coming out as a major NFL player.
He would have been the best current athlete to admit that they were gay. And you can't cut a guy like that. There was a first openly gay NFL player was Michael Sam, and he ended up getting kicked out of the league. But because he wasn't as good.
Right.
You can try to say that it's because he's gay, but it's not.
And what's his name on the Raiders?
Carl Nassib. Edge rusher Carl Nassib from the Raiders. The NFL's first openly gay player to play in a regular season game announced his retirement.
Wait, he's retiring already?
He retired last year, 2023.
So he didn't even play this last season?
Nope.
Damn.
Yeah.
He was good, too.
Yeah. Real good.
Well, anyway, hopefully it happens more often.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't. But the shame and having a dad that's saying, you know, gay this, gay that.
Yeah, but everyone was dealing with that. Half the country.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Hernandez's story is not unique to that. And yet a lot of people grew up and said, okay, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they didn't shoot and fucking murder people.
But then the CTE is thrown in.
Yeah.
And this is where I have trouble. I really do with cases like this where there's a thin line between someone that can't help what they're doing because they have a damaged brain and then a true psychopath.
Yeah. I think he was both.
Right. The CTE didn't help.
No.
Yeah. He got caught up. His childhood, as you put it, led him down a certain path and he never really became a man.
No.
And got away with everything until he didn't anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tears and blood on that path.
Yeah.
That he's responsible for.
Yep. He had a number of opportunities to not go down that path, and he just said fuck you to every single one of them.
And I'll say this much about the Patriots organization. I know the coaches, the owner, they were all put in a bad spot. And I suppose there's not much more that they could have done besides just getting rid of the guy earlier.
Yeah.
So whatever they did do wasn't right, but it wasn't necessarily wrong either.
Right. The one big thing that the Patriots did, other than saying we're not going to speak his name ever again, June 28th, 2013, Patriots offered fans Aaron Hernandez jersey exchange. So they opened up the Pats Pro Shop and they said, bring your Aaron Hernandez jersey and we will give you whatever jersey else you want. And we are just going to burn these jerseys.
Even Tom Brady?
In an interesting move, the team announced Friday that it will offer a free exchange of any 81 Hernandez jersey for a different player of comparative value. Okay, so they didn't. They said comparative value. Okay. That's hilarious.
That is bullshit.
We know that children love wearing their Patriots jerseys, but may not understand why parents don't want them wearing their Hernandez jerseys anymore. We hope this opportunity to exchange those jerseys at the Patriots Pro Shop for another player's jersey of a comparative value will be received well by parents.
No, mommy. I want to wear the Hernandez jersey.
Yeah.
But honey, he's he's not a good man.
Humana, humana, humana. There are people still selling them on eBay and stuff, of course.
Okay, I take it back. Fuck the Patriots organization.
You can actually get one for $40 on eBay right now.
Who would want to give that up if I was holding on to one of those?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We could put it up as our background.
Yeah, no shit. Jeez.
Open a museum.
For real.
That's an artifact.
Death and Entertainment Museum coming 2040.
Wow, what a couple of episodes there, Kyle.
Yeah.
How do you feel? That was a long time coming.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy, but, you know. Glad to get it out of the way and move on.
You did great.
Just like the Patriots organization.
And it really is such a convoluted, complicated story because his crimes go back so many years and involve so many random people and occurrences and some they couldn't even convict him on.
Yeah.
So what we're left with is this big mess of a timeline.
Right.
To try and sort out.
Yeah. Alexander Bradley walks free.
But he doesn't see all that well these days.
Yeah. But that's just crazy that they never, even though they know he was in the car, was with Aaron Hernandez when those two guys died. He's either a part of it or actually killed those two guys and he's still never been charged.
It's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore plays Alexander Bradley, not and never been kissed, but never been charged.
Yeah. I like it.
Kiss me.
Okay, well, we do have a little surprise here.
Yes.
So there's a special guest that we're going to be calling right now who is currently in prison.
Yeah.
And he claims that he was also a lover of Aaron Hernandez.
Get out of town.
So this is a Die exclusive.
Die exclusive.
Kyle, do you want to handle this?
Sure.
Okay, we're ready. Should I put the call through?
Sure.
Okay. These things can be a little unpredictable. Yeah. So let's hope this goes okay.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Okay. Hey, welcome to Death and Entertainment.
Yo, what's up?
So we hear that you and Aaron met in jail.
That's right.
To the point.
Yeah, very to the point.
We were both on bathroom duty, and we got to talking one day, and we became very close. You know what I mean?
I guess so. Was it a romantic relationship?
No, not really.
So you're not gay?
Nah, I don't swing that way.
So what would you two do for fun?
He would blow me, then I would blow him. He liked a 69 and then spoon me. Sometimes the guards would watch.
Oh my God, I'm sorry to interject. This is quite the salacious claim.
Yeah, this is a DiePod exclusive.
You're not worried about... Hi, I'm Alejandro, the other host here. So you're not worried about your reputation?
No, not really.
All right, we get what you two were up to. You told us he made a confession to you about another possible murder?
Yeah, he told me he knew where Jimmy Hoffa was buried.
Whoa! They've been looking for that guy for a long time.
Do you want to tell us where he's buried?
No, not really.
Okay. What do you say to people who think you may not be the most credible source?
I know me, you know what I mean? I know what's real, and I believe me. That's all that matters.
Okay. Well, thank you, anonymous lover of Aaron Hernandez / inmates. Thank you for speaking with us.
The pleasure was all mine. Peace out, homie.
Peace out. Well, that was interesting.
Wow. I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't either. And no, that was not Kyle Kennedy. Okay? That was a different guy.
And no, that was not real. It was a completely farcical call.
Yes.
Lest you be fooled.
Imagine someone listening to that being like, holy shit!
Death and Entertainment is breaking news.
The same clip of, nah, not really. Nah, not really.
And what a shocking confession.
I know.
Boys will be boys.
That's right.
As they say. And on that note, I think it's time for...
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
The mailbag.
Hey.
Cast 2727 gave us 5 stars. Loving the podcast. Sad to hear Mark has flown the coop, but I think the Die duo works out just fine. I listen weekly and really enjoy the crime comedy pod.
Aww.
We will continue to have fun here on the podcast, and yep, stories are the center here,
yes,
and there's certainly a lot of them.
Same Die time, same Die channel.
And until next week,
don't go dying on us. Bye-bye.
You have just heard...
A true Hollywood murder mystery.
I have never seen anything like this before.
The movies, Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.